If everyone could really quickly imagine a scenario with me. So let's say it's right after church today. You close your laptop and you're getting ready to move on with the rest of your Sunday when you hear from God Himself. And He says, "My child, I need you to build a stadium because a week after you're finished, the rest of Virginia is going to go up in flames and only the people in the stadium are going to survive." So, you're understandably taken aback. You're like, "Wow, this is a lot." But, I'm feeling a particular level of piety today. It's Sunday and kind of gung ho. So, you know what? Let's do this. And so God gives a rough mental blueprint. He's like, "Okay, before you get started, there's just two more things you need to know before I let you cut loose. First, you can only use your immediate family to help you. And second, you can only use tools that haven't been invented within the past 2,000 years." So now you're like, understandably, okay, this is going to be a little harder, but hey, the God of the universe wants me to do this. And so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And so you gather your family together and you guys are working on things. It's pretty fun. You're chiseling out blueprints and, putting together wooden boards and whatnot. And it might be fun, for the first day, maybe week or week and a half. But how do you think you'd feel after a month or a year or a decade working on this giant stadium? This is the situation we find our friend Noah in. If everyone could turn to Genesis 6, 13, and 15, and when you get there, can you raise your hand and then go ahead and unmute yourself and you can read the scripture? But pretty much where Noah is right now is God has come to him and he said, "Noah, I'm going to wipe out all life on the planet with a flood, and only creatures and your family that are on the ark are going to survive. So I'm going to need you to build it." And yeah, this is where we find Noah, a couple of decades into working on this giant wooden ship in the middle of the desert. Again, that's Genesis 6, 13 through 15. Go ahead, Mom. Oh, I think, okay, maybe everybody is administratively muted. That's no problem. I'll go ahead and read it myself. Genesis 6, 13 through 15. So God said to Noah, "I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I'm surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long, 50 cubits wide, and 30 cubits high." For context, that's about 4 stories tall, a football field and a quarter long, and 10 feet shy of an Olympic swimming pool's width. So you might be thinking to yourself, that's a fair-sized boat. I mean, I've seen bigger. I might have even been on bigger. But you have to realize, for an ancient Earth citizen with no engineering certification or power tools or contractors, this is a huge, very long-term task. And so when we find ourselves facing huge long-term tasks, we need to remember the purpose behind our pursuit, so that we can continue to persevere throughout the tasks. So I've come up with sort of a flow chart list of three questions to ask yourself if you're ever at a breaking point where you're having a hard time persevering in that long-term pursuit. So the first question you should ask yourself is what I'm doing done for or with God? Now this can be directly and indirectly. Things done directly for or with God include your standard prayer, worship, and adoration, reading scripture, devotionals, quiet times. These are things where you're talking directly to God and you're interfacing one-on-one with him. Things that are more indirect sort of fall into your jobs or your hobbies, where let's say in the case of something for God, we'll take a civil engineer for an example. The civil engineer could just build a bridge to get from point A to B, or they could show God their appreciation for having the opportunity to do so and the skills to do so. And they build a bridge with a mindset of having it be there if Jesus needed to walk across it, as a way to show thanks. Doing something with God could be, let's say you like to go fishing, because when you're out there on the water and the beauty of nature, it reminds you of the power of God and you enjoy resting and relaxing in Him. That would be doing something with God. So if your long-term pursuit is for or with God, it's important to recognize that that's the purpose of it, so that you can prevent any sort of quality issues that might come up. Let's go back to Noah, for instance. Let's say what would happen if Noah was lazy, if he didn't realize what he was doing was for God and he just kind of got lackadaisical. Let's say, one day they're working and Ham is like, "Hey Dad, there's a gap about a cubit wide near the hole. Should we do something about that?" And Noah's like, it's no big deal. It'll be whatever." And then, in the end, the ark comes out lopsided. And there's like gaps in the pitch from where they had different drying times, and the ark isn't even the right dimensions, so like half the animals can't fit on there. Things would not bode well for Noah. Let's say Noah just did a normal job. If God asked for an ark with these specifications, and Noah just made a completely average, mediocre, and functional ark, well, that wouldn't have any physical repercussions. But Noah doesn't serve a mediocre, average, and functional God. He serves an awesome God, and so it would only be respectful to do an awesome job on the ark. And let's say Noah took it a step too far. If he went to that, unhealthy perfectionist level where he kind of becomes a people pleaser. Let's say after a couple of months of people walking by and making fun of him and his family for making a big boat, he starts thinking to himself, actually, maybe a giant wooden ship isn't what this desert community needs. Maybe they need an inn, or a restaurant, or maybe it could be like a themed camel stable or something. I'll change it into that, and then people will like it, and they'll like me too. Well, people weren't the ones to give Noah the assignment to build the ark in the first place, so it doesn't necessarily matter what they think. It matters what God thinks. If you are trying to gauge the level of quality you should invest into a task, I think a good scripture to keep in mind would be Colossians 3, 23 through 24. That you guys are flipping there. Just to remind you, this is a good quality check should you start to lose sight of your purpose in this category. So that's Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Fantastic. So you've got that at heart. If what you're doing is for with God, then even though you've acknowledged that it's still going to be rough, you're still going to need determination and perseverance to make it through. But remember that you're serving the God of the universe, and what you're doing is to please Him and go forward and do that task. But what if your answer to that question is no? What if you ask yourself, is this for with God? And it really isn't. And then we move on to our second question. Can it be used for positive personal growth or perpetuating ministry? Now, some examples of positive personal growth are pretty straightforward. It's like building yourself through exercise, or maybe learning a new skill, or honing a skill that you already have. Pretty much investing in the talents and opportunities given to you. This has a dual benefit, because not only are you building yourself to be a stronger member of the body, but you're also ending up with a cool skill at the end. Perpetuating ministry is more of like a kingdom growth sort of relationship builder, where you might be fellowshipping and spending time with people in the body, or witnessing, where you're spreading the gospel, or donating time through volunteering and helping those less fortunate. This also has a dual benefit, because not only are you reflecting God's love to those around you, but you also gain cool relationships and whatnot. If this is where your task lies, if it's a personal or kingdom growth task, it's important to realize that so that you can avoid some of the anger and burnout that comes when you don't realize this. Perhaps you're investing in a relationship and you think, your efforts aren't being acknowledged or anything like that, or maybe you're going after a personal goal and you've reached sort of an effort limit. You're just getting your second wind and you're looking at the road ahead of you and it just looks overwhelming or hopeless. It's a good thing to keep in mind that this is for personal growth or kingdom growth. A story that comes to mind, actually, a personal one, is my experience with Duolingo. So, for those of you that are unfamiliar with what this is, Duolingo is a free language learning app. I actually started the Duolingo sub-ministry, which was a part of ISM for a little while, until Duolingo updated and the mechanic that we used to meet kind of went out of date. But even after that, I still kept up with Duolingo every day, getting on. I was learning Spanish and Chinese and Arabic. I was just really going in there trying to learn these languages. And then after a couple of months, I realized that I hated Duolingo with every fiber of my being. The times where I would get on to do Duolingo were my least favorite of the day. I would dread it. It would fill me with genuine anger to the point where I would consider myself a toxic gamer. If you haven't heard of that term, it's a type of person who plays video games and when they lose, they get upset and they yell and throw the controller and stuff. Now, granted, I didn't throw my phone or anything, but I would feel like genuine rage when I would get a question wrong in this language learning app. And after a while, I started to ask myself, like, why? This is very strange and unhealthy. Why is this happening? And I realized I had lost sight of my purpose. In that moment, I was doing Duolingo for keeping up with all the different mechanics. I was trying to gain all the experience points and keep my hearts up and do the daily streaks and win the leagues and stuff. I was doing it as a pride thing. When I originally started the Duolingo ministry, I was inspired by an evangelism trip that we took as a church up to Maryland, where we reached out to Hispanic and Chinese communities, but we had that constant kind of awkward language barrier. I originally started the Duolingo ministry so that I could appreciate the beauty of the cultures associated with the languages, and also so that I'd have an extra tool as a key to more witnessing. And not it wasn't for like the pride stuff that it had become. So once I realized, hey, I'm doing this for the wrong reasons, I need to self-correct, Duolingo became as it should have been, a fun language learning app. So if you're starting to experience some of this anger or burnout in your own tasks, I would recommend flipping to Galatians 6, 9 through 10. As you're on your way there, keep in mind that this is a good scripture or sentiment to hold in your heart. If you're experiencing anger or burnout, and things that are for personal and kingdom growth, or if you just need some good encouragement and a task in that category. Galatians 6, 9 through 10. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Great. So there we have it. Again, this is a long-term task. Noah worked on this ark for like 100 years. So, having that one scripture that one time is great, but you need to continuously remind yourself of these things so that it can help you with perseverance. But fantastic. So if it's not for with God, then it's for personal or kingdom growth. Fantastic. But what if that's not the case? What if the answer is still no? What if it's not for with God? What if it's not for personal or kingdom growth? Well, then the third question you should ask yourself is, why do you feel like you should do it? And this is where we start to get into more of maybe negative motivations. It could be temptation. You might be going into a specific relationship or continuously investing in a certain situation for tempting reasons. Or it might be like how I was with Duolingo for a long while, where it was a pride thing. Perhaps it might even unfortunately be pressure from friends or family or maybe even society itself. It doesn't have to always be negative things, though. It could be something neutral. It could be like an obligation. Maybe you made a promise to yourself or to a family member, and you're following through on your promise. Or it could be a side quest where you have to do this thing in order to do this thing so that this thing will work. Regardless of what it may be, it's best to figure out what it is. Because at the end of the day, you have to realize this is a long-term goal. You're going to be investing countless hours and unfathomable kilojoules of energy into whatever task this is. You're going to face a lot of suffering and a lot of challenges, and it's going to require much effort and much determination. So what you're going after should be worth all of that time. A good scripture to keep in mind is 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12. As you're flipping here, keep in mind that this, I think this is a great metric for when you're weeding out what tasks you should keep and what tasks should be kind of thrown away. This is a good outline for the tasks that should stay. So that's 1 Thessalonians 4:11 through 12. And make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. So keep that in mind as you're trying to sift through the real purpose of why you feel like you should do something. Analyze the effect that not only the goal is going to have on your life, but also the pursuit of that goal. And from there, make the proper decision. So, bada bing, bada boom, we're done, right? That's the three we got. Is it for or with God? Is it for personal or kingdom growth? If yes, then try your best to continue to persevere, keep up determination. Remember that it's for God or for the kingdom, and you know, power on. And if no, then you got to analyze, you know, what is it for? And you got to, you know, see if you want to keep it in your life or not. But there's a fourth bonus question that we might need to consider. What if we get to that third question and we still don't know the answer? What if we know it's not for or with God? What if we know it's not for personal kingdom growth? And what if we do, you know, the self-analysis thing and we still don't know what it's for? We want to do it, or we're doing it, but we don't know why. Well, don't panic. There are a number of things that you can do in this situation. You can seek godly counsel. Anyone here at Ablaze would be probably more than willing to help you with a different perspective. You could go to a godly family member or a mentor, you know, just trying to get a different perspective, maybe even some trusted members of your home church. You could always read scripture. Maybe there might be a psalm or a proverb or even a passage like Noah's that can give you some clarity and inspiration. Some good spitball scriptures, we're not going to read them now, but just so that you have them in your toolkit. Matthew 6, 33, Romans 8, 28, James 1, 2 through 4. Those could be good things to keep in mind when trying to figure out the purpose behind your pursuit. A thing that a devotional continuously reminds me is that thanking God can actually help you, even if you're confused and even if you're struggling. Thanking God kind of forces you to look at the problem from a different perspective, and the aspects that you end up thanking him for might be sort of nuggets to lead you to what the purpose of it is. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you've done all this, you know, weird thanking God for the hard times and talking to people and, you know, reading scripture, and you still don't feel it, you're still really confused, you can always just go to God in prayer and talk to him directly. And I think to close out, we'll go ahead and do that. We'll close out in prayer. So, Lord, thank you for bringing us all here together. Thank you for the technology working. Thank you for giving me this opportunity to speak with the body. I ask that you give us the determination and perseverance we need to continue on in the task that you put on our hearts. And I ask that for those of us who are unsure of what these tasks are or what their importance are, that you lead them and guide them in your name. These things and all things I ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.